walk into God's presence. Every day you should go to him and have commune with him and talk with him and read some of the scriptures. And every day you're walking into God's presence. So how do you do that? How do you prepare to walk into his presence? Because if you're like me, sometimes, you know, your day is going by. You know, my day starts at 5 in the morning and ends whenever. And so throughout that day, it's busy. Throughout that day, we keep going. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, God, I need to spend some time with you. And then, done. And you just keep moving at the pace you entered in. So I want to encourage you this morning. Whenever you spend your time with God or go into time with God, quiet it down. Just quiet. Have some type of thing. For me, what I like to do when I'm not in a rush and I get my mindset where it needs to be is I'll just sit and listen to an instrumental praise song, or I'll sit and listen to something that is just quieting me down, getting the things off my mind. Because if I dive right into reading scripture, it doesn't work. Because I can be just as busy in my head as I read scripture. And so, quiet it down. When you come into church, it's great. I mean, us guys were back here in about 5 minute, 10 minute till, and we were listening to all the fellowshipping going on. Some called it hot air. I called it fellowshipping. Since I get accused of having all the hot air, I thought I'd pass that back to you a little bit. But we come in and we enjoy it, and we get all worked up, maybe, depending on your conversation. But I want to challenge you to enter into God's presence with a quietness, with a softness, with a reverence, as Moses walking on holy ground. You and I need to come into realization that when we come to church, when we come and look at the Lord's table, I don't want it to be just something we do. I don't want it to become a ritual in your life. I want it to become something that when we look at the Lord's table, it's a tremendous reminder how much we have been forgiven, how much our lives have changed because of what he's done. How much we are blessed because he loved us that much. And how much we have to look forward to because we have an eternity secured. Man, if we could just wrap our minds around that, that automatically ought to quiet us a little bit. Because I know we're all going through struggles. I know where there's days and you worry about, you know, the journey you're on. Sometimes that journey's not very nice. Sometimes you're walking the valley. Sometimes you're walking the pitfalls. Sometimes you're walking on cloud nine, and that's great. But man, this journey that we call life is so diverse, so full of the unknowns. I am so glad I can come to the Lord's table and have a security of a known truth. That he loved me, he died for me, and I am his. I'm redeemed. And so this morning as we come, one of the things we want to look at is that time with God and the forgiveness. We've been studying through Philemon and looking how forgiveness is important, how relationship is important, how Philemon and Onesimus and was trying to come and Paul was encouraging them. But I find it very difficult to be able to look at a message like that, to look at a time like that, and then all of a sudden, we walk out into a world, and boy, it's tough to practice some of that, isn't it? Isn't it hard to forgive some of the people that God puts in our lives? Maybe it's just me. You're all looking at me like, I don't know where I'm. Maybe it's me. I don't know. I got an issue. I don't know. There are some people who just simply make it so difficult. And that's why we have a great God. Because as long as my God is okay with me, it doesn't matter if anybody else is okay with me. I put my head on the pillow at night and I'm found faithful and God says, you've made it through this day, let's get some rest and pray for the next one. That's the important thing. And so as we gather around the table this morning, the forgiveness that God gives us, just the security and the knowledge that we are loved by a God who is in control of everything, ought to be enough for us to just come quiet to his presence and the thankfulness that he gives. So realizing as scripture teaches in Corinthians 11 that, you know, this is an open, we're not a church commune only. It's opening up to everybody who's here. The difference is you got to belong to God's family. And one thing I'm learning and I'm enjoying is the fact of knowing that God doesn't have an address. a study through Hebrews 9 and 10 and you realize that when he entered into his holy and holies, it was a holy and holy that wasn't built with men's hands. His holy is heaven. And that is open up for the family, for the kingdom of God. And if you're here today and you're part of that family, then you partake with us. We welcome you to come and partake with us. As we give our time, as I ask you to come quietly, right, we need to give you some time to do that. So as the men come, I'm going to ask you just to take a few minutes and quiet our minds and our hearts as we prepare for the Lord's Supper this morning. Come to you this morning. I pray that we are able to just set our minds down, set our hearts down. Just, Father, come to you in the reverence and honor that you need, that you deserve. Father, we could never give you everything that you deserve, but from the best that we have, from all that is within us, with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, may we come to you this morning with a tremendous gratefulness. A tremendous opportunity to realize that we are loved and secured, and that, God, we will continue to remember this. But one day, we will no longer have to remember what you've done. We'll be standing before you and experience the final result of all that it means. God, until then, may we quiet ourselves before you, because you speak in a still small voice. You don't scream. You don't raise your tone. You don't get our attention the way we may need it. But in that still small whisper, you speak. God, I pray you speak to us today. Pray that we hear, we understand. And Father, as we look back and remember, may we never forget the body that was broken. May we never forget your Son who took our place, took our penalty, and paid the price that no other man could ever pay. And God, for that, we are grateful. And God, as we begin and partake of the body, Father, may we continue to remember it was broken for us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. disciples in the upper room, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let's do in remembrance of him." God, as we continue to remember that day, that event that changed our world, Father, I just pray as we realize the blood that was shed was the final sacrifice that was ever needed. We can't earn, we can't work towards, we can't do anything to enter into a place that only truly belongs to you. But we thank you for bridging that gap, for making us the opportunity and allowing us to be a part of that family. We are adopted, and that adoption is signed in the blood of your Son. God, we are so grateful that the sins that we have, the sins that were committed, are covered under that blood. And Lord, may we never forget, as we live each day and make choices all day long, that we need to rely on that forgiveness that you give, that we may pass that forgiveness on to others. God, we honor, we thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen. As you continue to teach in the upper room, stating, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This drink is offered you, drink it in remembrance of me." God, I pray that this time never becomes something that we just do. I pray that it's something that is so meaningful for us that we walk away rethinking what our fellowship and what our relationship is with you. Father, if you were to go to this extreme because you love us, what extreme will we go to show you that we love you? And God, I pray as we begin to get into your study, get into the word, Father, may you continue to keep us quiet. May we continue to hear your still small voice. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. morning as we continue into our study. Philemon, turn there if you would with me. We are looking into the study as we're going to finish up the study today. We've been looking through it the last few weeks trying to figure out what all of this means and how we acquire all this forgiveness that Paul is speaking of. But at the same time, we also need to realize that there is a God who has many meanings to one phrase, if I can word it that way. If you ever noticed that God continues, and let me illustrate it this way. If two people are praying for the same thing and God answers yes to one and no to the other one, happens often, doesn't it? Some people praying for a job. Man, I really need that job. And somebody else, God, I really need that job. One gets it and one doesn't. Well, God didn't hear my prayers. Ah, God answered my prayer. Sometimes we realize that there's meaning behind a lot of the things that God has written in the Word of God. And this is one of them today. Last week, just for just a little bit of review, we looked at a verse, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked lead them astray. And we saw that, that is from the New King James writing, but we saw that and understand it in a way that simply says that we need to be careful because our relationships on this earth are very, very important. Our relationships in this earth will either help us or hinder us. And how many of you have heard or maybe even have a testimony, you know, boy, you know, you knew this person or myself in my younger years, maybe yourself in your younger years, you know, I used to really go in church, used to love God, and then I got in the wrong crowd. Did you ever hear that phrase, in the wrong crowd before in your life? Maybe you've walked in among that crowd before in your life. I know I sure did. And I justified it and I made it sound so good. But it still had the same results. It led me astray. It led me away from the truth of God. And so when we look at that and how important relationships were and how Paul pulled his two spiritual sons together and said, listen, there are some things that you need to do. You need to do this. Why? For the sake of Christ. You know, one of the things that I'm realizing in the world, and maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking our world is becoming more and more and more all about me. Is it just me realizing that, or do you have that same problem? Excuse me. You don't have the problem. You see the problem, right? Okay, we've got to make sure we make that distinction here, okay? Sometimes when we face things and we look at life, it's how do we deal with this? How do we handle this? And we look at this concept of being in a world where it's all about me, but if it's all about you in a relationship, you don't have a very good relationship. Isn't that true? If you have somebody who wants to be always up front, always in the center, always about them, then there's really no relationship. Because a relationship, Philemon and Onesimus, you got to go back. Philemon, you've got to forgive. Both parties in a relationship have to be concerned about the other for the relationship to thrive. That's in parental relationships, that's in marriage relationships, that's in friendships, that's in all friendship, period. You got to have both sides. So now we're going to come to a text here in Philemon, beginning in verse 18. When we look at this verse 18, what we need to realize is that relationships is, I think, one of the bottom lines or the important lines of what Paul was writing to Philemon about. It's about relationship. And notice Paul never mentioned religion. He mentioned Christ, and he mentioned relationships, but he never mentioned religion. I kind of think religion is a man-made term that allows men to be more in control of the relationship. Because you and I have a relationship with Christ, right? We have this relationship with God in our lives. And sometimes if we make it about our religion, then it's more about the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the regulations. And it's about looking like, acting like, being like, and all those things. And as long as I look like, act like, do like, be like, smell like, talk like, I am saved. I'm not sure what the smell looks like. Anyway. As we go through all that Christ is doing for you and I, we need to realize that this is the most important relationship that you will ever have. Of all the relationships you have, it's not about a religion. It's not about what church. It's not about what denomination. Listen, denominations are not in the Bible. Denominations are man's way of worshiping God because they couldn't agree. They couldn't get along. They couldn't. One guy says it means this. One guy says it means that. Therefore, I don't like you no more. I'm going over here. And we have all these different ways that men have broke up God's truth to serve him the way they think it needs done. That's why we have so much problem in the church today, because man's got too much of his own opinion in the truth. So the relationship is the key factor, I think, very, very important as we look at this morning and also as we looked at it last night. Because we're going to see Philemon now is going to be given a call to. Paul's now going to come to him and say, listen, it's a call to Philemon, and I want you to pay attention to how this plays out, because you're going to see a lot of similarities in the call to that God gives you and I. First thing we need to see, call to accept. In verse 18, he says, if he, being Onesimus, hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Basically, what we have him saying is the debt unknown. Paul says, I don't know what the debt is, but Paul says, I'm willing to repay that debt. Paul says, whatever. Now, again, as the King James words that, oweth the ought, basically, if he owes you anything, whether it be monetary, whether it be money, whether it would be time, you can imagine as Onesimus being his slave, when he left, he could have stolen something. He could have taken just the time alone away that he should have been working would have cost Philemon money, would have cost him issues, would have cost him all kind of stuff. Paul says, whatever. And I want you to see that there is no definition to that. There is no definition to accept. I'll accept it on these terms. No. There's no terms. There's no definition. Either you're willing to accept or you're not willing to accept. The terms, in a biblical sense, aren't as important as the fact of accepting it. Paul says, whatever. Paul didn't know what it was. Paul had no idea. Whatever. Paul says, I'm willing to repay it. Paul says, put it on my account. I want to talk a little bit about that account. As we understand the account, it's a financial term. It's a term that you and I understand, because how many of you do not ever check your bank account? We got one or two. And back in the day, I would check it just to see if I had anything in it. Not that I wanted to keep track of what was in it. Is there something in it? But you know, we look at our accounts and we understand what that means. If there's nothing in the account, you don't pull out of the account, right? See how smart I am? You can't take out of something that is not there. What Paul says, now, how could Paul know what was in the account his in order to make that statement to Philemon, whatever it is, I'll repay it. Whatever it is. Think about that for a minute. Paul did not need to know the definition of what it is. Paul did not need to know the value of what was lost. Paul had the heart to say, I don't care what it is. I don't care the cost. I will repay it. It may take me the rest of my life, but I'll repay it. You see, it has a different tone to it, doesn't it? It's not about the details of I need to know how much, I need to know what it is, because I've got plans with my account money, and I'm not going to give any of that up until I find out. See the heart of Paul? And that's the concept of what it means, a call to accept. Philemon, accept. You need to accept because I'm willing to do whatever it takes for this to be zeroed out. I'm doing whatever it takes for Onesimus' debt to be paid. I want you to think about that for a minute, because that's an important phrase that we find out in our relationship with Christ. Christ told you and I and said to you and I that our debt of sin has been paid completely. Do you think God knew everything that I was going to do, good, bad, or indifferent? God knew before the foundations of the world all decisions made by every human ever born. Listen, that's a lot of people and that's a lot of decisions. Can you wrap your mind around that? Listen, I don't know what I did yesterday. God knew. God knows. And by that knowledge alone, knowing how man would turn his back, knowing how man would treat him, knowing that man would reject him, knowing that all those things were going on, as Paul quotes, while I was yet a sinner, he loved me and saved me. When we get information, we make different decisions. We base it on some of that, and I realize we can't be like God. All we are is mirrors and ambassadors. We're not him. And so in our lives, when we look at the call to acceptance, is huge. Because the same thing that Paul is asking Philemon to do for Onesimus, Christ is, our God is asking you and I to do through Christ. Just accept it. You don't have to say, well, you know, but if I accept it, then I'm going to have to give up stuff. If you have to give up something to accept Christ, you probably should have gave it up a long time ago. It's probably nothing any good in your life. And listen, you'll never convince me that Christians can't have fun. I have a lot. Now, it may cost a broken bone or two, but I have a lot of fun. There's a lot of things that you and I can do in this world. There's a lot of exciting things we can get involved in. There's a beautiful world that God has created. Go out and enjoy it. Doesn't matter what's going on in our world. Doesn't matter what's going on in the news. You can't listen to them anyway. I'll just stop. Because you and I know the truth. There is no fake news in the Bible. There is nothing that you and I don't have that we can't enjoy as long as it comes from the Word of God. Listen, we need to get that joy back. We've been bombarded too much by the negative. We've been bombarded too much by the world, and we're not accepting and we're not enjoying what God has given us. Man, we need to get excited. Boy, you guys are a tough crowd, man. I'm telling you, that's all I can tell you. Paul did not know the debt. He did not know the price to repay, but his heart said, I love Onesimus enough, whatever it is, I'll take care of it. That's what Christ did for you and me. That's what he did for us. Whatever, God says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much you did everything else for the other guy, Satan. I don't care. All I care is I love you enough to die for you. Accept it. Accept me. Listen, that's the first step that we both know, all of us know, that if Paul was going to accomplish forgiveness between Philemon and Onesimus, first thing is Philemon needed to accept the concept. He needed to accept the fact that he needed to forgive. You know, the hardest thing in winning, or I don't want to say winning somebody to the Lord, because it's not a game. It's not a win or lose. All we do is introduce. All we can do is introduce. We can't save our kids. We can't save our grandkids. We can't save our neighbors. We can't save mom and dad. We can't save anybody. All we can do is introduce them to the one that can. And that's our goal. That's our responsibility. And as we introduce them, it comes with a call to accept. The second thing we find about Paul is it's a call to remember his own debt. In verse 19, the very beginning part of verse 19, Paul says, I have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. And basically what that says is Paul says, listen, it's my signature on this. I'm committing. It's not just a good idea. It's a promise. As Paul puts it in his own hand. Then he says in verse 19, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. And we mentioned mentioned that last week, as it inclined or it hints very highly that Philemon was introduced to Christ by Paul. And so therefore, the two spiritual sons, Onesimus and Philemon. So now we have a call to remember. Not only a call to accept, but a call to remember. Because when we see the first part, Philemon had a debt he could not pay. Philemon's debt was a sinful life, a sinful heart. Philemon's debt was a debt to God that he could not pay, and it's the same debt that you and I cannot pay. It's the same debt that nobody in our world can pay. It doesn't come by all the prayers. It doesn't come by all the church attendance. It doesn't come on the shirt tails and the skirt tails of mom and dad. This kind of a calling is a call to remember. Philemon, remember, you had a debt that you couldn't pay. Philemon, in his state, no doubt where he was, could not pay the debt that he knew he would owe. I'm convinced of that. Scripture doesn't say that word for word, but for Paul to step in and say, I will repay it, I truly believe they understood that it was a debt that Onesimus could not pay. We have a debt that we cannot pay. Christ paid it all. Christ paid it for you and for me. And I'm going to tell you, that debt, remember. Remember when you go to forgive somebody. Remember when somebody's coming to you. Remember that, listen, you had a debt you couldn't pay at one time in your life too. So here's the interesting thing. How can you pray for someone when you yourself are not willing to do? Can we pray for someone to accomplish something or someone to do something? You know, God, I'm going to pray for this person. They really need to follow God. They really need to get their life squared away. They're walking the wrong trail. And God, I just want to lift them up to you and pray for them. And I know that, God, you can hear me. And then we go live our own life. You see, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that we don't remember that we had a debt to pay. And that debt that was unpayable by us, Christ paid for us. Philemon, Onesimus has a debt. I'll pay it for him because he can't pay it. Are you going to remember that in your own life? Man, that debt was paid for us. The second thing we find is Paul introduced him to one who could pay his debt. You see, Paul again says, don't forget you owe me your life. You owe me your eternal state. You owe me. And it's not that Paul did it for him. Paul just happened to be the one to introduce it. Paul happened to be the one that introduced Christ to him. And listen, that's a privilege. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you that there is nothing that is going to bring someone to Christ other than God's children introducing him. It's not going to be a song. It's not going to be an entertainment 25, 30 minutes of church. It's not going to be anything except God's people sharing and introducing Christ to the people who know him. And why can I be so dogmatic about that? Because that's how God said to do it. That's how God put it together. That's how God said, we need to be the voice of God. We need to be the ambassadors. We are called ambassadors of Christ. Now, and if an ambassador goes to another country and just goes out on his own, does his own thing, talks to the individuals on his own, sets up his own deals, we wouldn't look at that very nicely, would we? You and I, ambassadors for Christ, need to be more about talking about our King instead of our wants. And what we think works, what we think will fix, what we think is going to be great. You see, it's all about him. It's all about being introduced to the one who can pay the debt for you and for me. The next thing we find in verses 20 through 21, it says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. And again, we realize that that simply means hearts or the inner parts in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Interesting how that relationship, when Paul said to many of them and said unto the Corinthian people, I know that you'll do well. It's not because I trust you, but I trust the God that's in you. Many times in our lives, we need to allow that understanding. You know, I'm not sure if you know what you're doing, but you know, I trust the God that's in you. And you're following that God, you're trusting that God. And so therefore, we're okay with it. And I think that's what Paul is beginning to say here. And again, the first thing is to refresh Paul's heart. He says, refresh my heart. Where was Paul at when he wrote this? Prison. Do you think he needed a little encouragement? Absolutely. You know, we talk about encouragement. We talk about encouraging people. We talk about praying for people. And, you know, I hear all the time, you know, hey, I'm praying for this one, or, you know, I'm thinking about that one. And just go one step more. Call them and tell them. Have you ever received a phone call, or today's technology, a text, whatever, how that works, messenger, don't know, don't have it. But you've received some information, and somebody says, listen, I don't know what your day looks like, but God has put you on my mind and heart to pray for, and I'm praying for you. I've received them every now and then. And I'm going to tell you what, at that moment, you just stop. Because you know what? You really needed that most of the time, huh? Most of the time you were going through something, or you had something in your mind, or something was happening, or maybe you were very nerved going into a meeting, or nerved going into a doctor's office, or you're nerved doing something, and all of a sudden you get this, somebody's praying for me. Man, that's so encouraging. Paul says, listen, call to obedience. Philemon, do this, because if you do this, you're going to encourage me to know that all that I poured into you, all that I've prayed for you, all that we've done is not in vain. I'm going to tell you what an encouragement thing is. You want to encourage somebody, call them up and say, listen, I just want to pray for you today. You don't have to sit there if you sit there on the phone and pray with them, great. One of the retiring pastors in the area, and I won't mention his name, but he's a retiring pastor. He retired and he took it on as a ministry. Every day of the week, he calls at least 5 pastors and says, what you got going on? Or, hey, what's Wednesday's night study? What's Sunday's message? And he prays before the phone's hung up. 3 times a week, I get a phone call from this individual. And he says, let's pray. It doesn't matter. I'm on vacation this week. I don't care. I'm not. I still get the calls. Like, I don't need prayer for it. I'm on vacation, right? Probably need it more then than not. But you know, this, the ministry of prayer. You see how obedience to praying to God, the obedience that Philemon could give encourages Paul. And he says it very clearly. Let me have joy of thee in the Lord. This isn't all about me. This is all about, wow, I took Philemon, I introduced him to Christ, and look at him now. Man, if it wasn't for me, he would never be that good. No, Paul said in the Lord. Paul said, it's not about me. I just want to see Christ in you, Philemon. And how many times we need to realize that there are opportunities in our life that we can have that shining of Christ in our life. People are watching. People are looking. People want to see what it means to be a child of God. And when they don't see much of a difference between the world and the Christian, why bother? Why give up my Sunday mornings? Why give up my time for God? Why give up my money? Why give up anything for God when it doesn't really seem to make a difference? Listen, we can never outgive God. God will continue to give, continue to bless no matter what we do. But refreshing the heart, there is no price tag. Refreshing the heart doesn't come in dollars and cents. Refreshing the heart doesn't come with giving of material. Refreshing the heart, and I'm going to tell you, for me as a pastor, your pastor, I am refreshed when I see Christ through you all. Because it means that he is still here. He is still working. It means that we are still listening. It means that we are still together trying to serve God in a place, in a world that wants nothing to do with him. And we need encouraging conversations to allow each other to do that. Because there's a lot of discouraging going on out there. Obedience, a call to obedience. Philemon refresh my heart. Second thing we find, do what is right and then some. The confidence that Paul has in verse 21 is phenomenal. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee now, knowing that thou wilt do more than I say. What was Paul asking? Going all the way back to the beginning of the study, Paul was simply asking for Philemon to forgive Onesimus. So what would be the more so? What would be the more? Well, possibly accepting him as a brother in Christ. Offering him a place, offering him a job as a brother, not a slave. As a brother, saying, listen, you can come and go as you please, but I'd really like to have you still working for me. If you want to work for me, I'll pay you. We're all good. Or what if Onesimus was sent back to Paul? Isn't that what he said? Philemon, he's on your plane. He has encouraged me. He has helped me. I'm in prison. He was a part. Maybe Onesimus gets sent back to serve with Paul. We don't know. That's just a theory process of going through understanding the letter. And so do what is right. But then he says that you're going to do more than I asked. And how encouraging and how important that is in our life. You see, it comes to this similarity. And I'm going to just look at this similarity through our takeaway this morning. We show the steps of redemption truth every time we show forgiveness. The true story, the true facts, the true steps of redemption. When we forgive, the steps of the process of redemption are shown. Because again, going back to it, a call to accept. We have to accept what Christ did. We have to accept that he and he alone is the way in which, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father up through me. No man goes to the Father except through him. And so it doesn't get any more clear than that. It's got to be through the greatest relationship you can ever have in life. Many times I have an opportunity to talk to people and, you know, and the different beliefs, the different denominations, the different understanding, the different ways of acquiring prayer, the different ways of acquiring access to God. And it's unbelievable what's out there. And God has blessed me to no end to be in a situation where I see it every day and have the opportunity every day to say, listen, you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can go to heaven in your own thought process, however you think it works. You can pray to God however think you want to. But let me ask you one thing. Do you have a relationship with Christ? If you have a relationship with Christ, I'm good. Because it's Christ's relationship that will then change the mind and the heart of the understanding. I'm not going to do it. I can't go in there to somebody and say, listen, I don't believe your denomination does it right. I don't believe that how you pray is right. I don't think you even have a clue how to enter into heaven. Well, that'll get you a long way in a conversation. But what I do have is the ability to say, listen, the only thing that matters to me right now is, do you have a relationship with Christ? And I can never see them again. I don't have to see them again. If they have that relationship with Christ, you know what? I have confidence, not maybe in them, but the God that's in them, that they're going to be okay. They're going to figure it out. They're going to go, and God's going to allow them to have some understanding. I don't have to preach to them again. Why? Because the relationship with Christ was settled. The call to accept was done. Man, that's the most important thing. We spend a lot of time trying to argue things. All we got to do is make sure they know Christ. After that, it's okay. Second thing is a call to remember our debt. A call to remember our own debt. And then we see the last thing, a call to be obedience. See, that's the same step process to the redemptive truth. We have to accept Christ, remember that our debt could not be paid by us any other way, and then comes the obedience in that calling. Philemon is going to be asked, and again, this is a very clear, and I found it interesting through this thought process, in verse 22, we didn't really study it, in verse 23, 24, and 25 is just his ending to the letter, but verse 22 is, but wherewithal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Interesting that Paul said the very last thing, in the confidence of everything that you've done, Philemon, I know that you're going to do right. And by the way, prepare me a place. Does that sound familiar somewhere? John 14, let not your heart be troubled. If I go to prepare a place for you. I mean, tell me, it's such an illustration of the redemptive truth. Paul said, in all confidence, your prayers, I'm going to get out of here. And when I get out of here, I'm going to come visit you, Philemon. I'm telling you, it's exciting to see how the scripture comes and backs up itself and prepares for you and for me. And my prayer is today that you seriously look at those three calls. And before you leave today, you make sure that your relationship with Christ is legit. Your relationship with Christ is for real. Listen, there's a lot of head knowledge out there. There's a lot of people who believe in a God. There's a lot of people who understand that Christ exists. They understand that God, there's a lot of head knowledge. But Satan believes in God, according to James. Satan believes in God and he trembles. We have many people today who are attending churches who believe in God and they're just living life having fun. They don't tremble. Satan trembles. Why? Because he knows God better than we do. He knows God better than we do. And he is afraid of God with a reverence fear of what that God can do. By the way, is anything he wants. We're not going to stop him. And in the day today, in the day and age that we live, one of the greatest things that we need to be preaching today, and I believe it's going full circle. I believe that there's going to be a time, if the Lord tarries, that we will not be able to meet in this building. I believe we're going to go back, and we're going to go back full circle to how church began in the first stages of the early church. I think we're going to go to houses. I think we're going to be little smaller groups. I think we're going to be fearing for our lives. I think all that we need to know is Christ, not all the other stuff. Although very important, and we need to study, I think we're coming back to a point where our greatest message is the relationship with Christ. Where is your relationship? Where is that with Christ? And then where is the obedience because of it? Those are the two questions I'm going to leave you with this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the study. We thank you for who you are this morning and realizing that without your love, without your understanding and care for us, we would not be able to have this conversation. We would all be on our way to hell. We have a debt we can never pay. But God, we realize that we can have this conversation because of your love and your mercy and your grace, your willingness to send your son to die. And Lord, I pray that each one here today just really reflects, remembers the debt they had. Remember how the accepting you paid that debt, and now there's a step of obedience that we live every day of our life as long as you give us breath. And God, I pray as we uplift this to you that you're that still small voice, that we hear it, that we listen, that we understand to the best of our ability what it is that you're speaking. And God, we just lift it to you with confidence to know that you are a God that is not only preparing a place for us, but you are a God who is guiding and directing us through this life. And we thank you.